Hi, Clutter Fairy fans. This is the Clutter Fairy Weekly for June 1st, 2021. I'm your co-host, Ed Gumnick, and I'm speaking with Gail Goddard, award-winning certified professional organizer and owner of the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas.
Hi, everybody. The Clutter Fairy Weekly is a webcast and podcast where we dig deep into the clutter that stands between people and the lives they want to be living. We aim to make sense of where so much stuff comes from in the first place, and we offer strategies to slow down the accumulation, reduce the collection, and comfortably manage the stuff we choose to keep. We rely heavily on the questions and topic suggestions we get from you, our viewers and listeners.
If you're joining us in the Zoom meeting for the first time, we welcome you to share your comments and questions via the chat, and I'll try to make sure Gail gets to them before we move on to another topic. You can also use the raise hand feature to let me know if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment yourself via audio or video. We're also streaming the webcast live on Facebook, so you can share your questions and comments there, and I'll relay them to Gail. And during the live webcast every week, you can call us directly by phone at 669-900-6833. Use meeting ID 993-419-863 and password clutter to join the meeting. We're going to start today by following up, as we usually do, on last week's weekly tittle, which was called Avoid the Quicksand. The assignment was to find ways to stay safe from the clutter quicksand in your life, your personal vulnerabilities to decluttering stuckness. We suggested some questions to ask to isolate where or under what conditions you get stuck. Observe what emotions you experience in those situations and think about what small changes might bring a fresh view of your problem area. We suggested experimenting to find techniques that might allow you to move forward even when you feel stuck. We want to hear from our participants in Zoom and Facebook. Did anybody get a little less stuck this week? Please let us know. We got a great email response from Isabel, who's here today in Zoom. Yay. We're putting her on the spot. And Isabel wrote, "With this week's tittle, you helped me to overcome a serious hurdle." Isabel reports that her area of stuckness had been items to be sold or auctions that had already been identified, photographed, and set aside, some of it for 2 or 3 years, including designer furniture and a large number of pieces from her collection of hand-painted Royal Copenhagen china.
Isabel says, "I don't really know what blocked me. The emotional attachment had been untangled." But she speculated whether she might be experiencing guilt because some of the stuff had been her mother's, or anxiety because she knew she'd lose money due to depreciation. But ultimately, her win for today is she now reports nearly 50 auctions and sales up and running, plus 5 items that have already been sold. She set a goal of having all the china up today, which will be about an additional 50 more auctions she wants to put up. And she gave our weekly tittle credit for a very effective kick in the butt. So I want to say that I'm thrilled that the tittle got you into action, an action that you've been prepping to do for some time now, I can tell. What a relief to be in motion, and how exciting that you've been rewarded with things sold already. Big congrats to you on a big win. Yay! We can't wait for the updated report on how this project is moving along. And thank you so much for sharing the story with us. This is really a great one. And I love the idea of finally, I've got my, you know, I've been planning to sell, and finally now you can say I am selling instead. And isn't that awesome? Congratulations.
That's great, Isabel. And Marilyn reports, "I moved a console piano out of the house as my Ooh. Singing career is over. I'm happy to see it in my son's house and my grandchild using it."
Oh, isn't that great? That's a good one too. Moving pianos out are hard. That's really hard. So awesome. Congratulations.
Okay, let us get to our main topic.
Okay.
Getting organized is simple, but it's not easy. For your project to succeed, you need a realistic plan and a clear process. And so today we are going back to revisit basic steps in the decluttering process. Today's show is called Back to the Basics, a Clutter-Free Recap of Organizing Fundamentals.
Yeah, here we go. We spent a lot of time looking at all kinds of issues and barriers with getting decluttered. So we thought we'd spend a bit of time on the process itself. All mental and physical barriers aside, there's a basic process I take with all of my clients to get a space under control. And that's our topic for today. So when I step into a house for the first time to start working, it's usually a space that's out of control. By definition, that's why they're calling an organizer. And so it's not always total chaos, but most of the time. So it doesn't much matter what the space is or what's in it or how long it's been a problem, what the client's mental barriers are. The process to get started is the same for me. So step number one, first, I'm going to pull everything out. It's time to empty the cabinet or pull stuff off the shelves. If a room is seriously scrambled, then I just start with the first thing to hand and pull things out of the piles they're in. You're going to open all the boxes. You're going to unstack any stacks, with the goal to pick up and examine everything in the room, including the furniture if it's necessary. If you're short on space, it's super crowded, then you can jump a few steps ahead and get all the trash and recycling out of the way first, and then go back to the next step, which is the sorting step. So first I pull it all out, and then step two, I'm going to sort like with like. You hear that phrase a lot in all the articles and the interviews about this business, and generally you know what that means. I'm going to start by pulling things off the floor, off the counters and the shelves, out of the cabinets, et cetera, and sort into categories. I can pick personalized categories for anything. This is probably one of my superpowers. Show me a space full of unrelated stuff. I'll ask you what kinds of things are in there and what the purpose of the room is supposed to be. And I can rattle off some categories right away. This is the beginning of determining how you want the room to function. These categories need to be personal and they need to be meaningful to you. It's your stuff. So how you do the categories in your mind is up to you. It may not be the same as the next person, how the next person would do it, but you get as much as you can sorted or as much as you can stand to be sorted. That's the step. Make the categories, sort, sort, sort. Okay, here's the next step. Now it's time to make keep toss decisions. Very basic. Examine each category pile that you've just made. What of that category can stay and what needs to go? That might include throwing out the trash, deciding something should be recycled or shredded. That's all part of the toss part of that make keep toss decision. The toss includes throwing out trash, what's going to be recycled, what needs to be shredded. But from a basic standpoint, you're deciding what's staying and what's going. And it'll help you if you have a trash can there for the actual trash and you have an appropriate bag for recycling and for shredding. And the keep stuff stays in the designated category place for right now. Once you've made those decisions and moved everything that's going to go, you're left with a keep pile that's going to stay.
Gail, let me interrupt you. Karen asked, what is an example of a category for like sorting?
Okay, so in the kitchen, for instance, if I am working in kitchen cabinets, then I'm looking at all the pots and pans and all the kitchen tools and accessories and appliances, and I'm gonna make a distinction between here's things that are for cooking and here's things that are for baking. And I'm gonna ask a question, how often do you bake? Are you a big baker? Do you do it all the time? You know, one of my clients likes to bake in theory, but he is not really good in execution. And so he has a huge collection, things to make wedding cakes, things to make bundt cakes, things to make cupcakes. And there's like 14 different kinds of cupcake tins. And he has all this stuff related to baking, and he probably bakes twice a year. So he has all the specialty flours, and he has all the specialty sugars, and he has all the molds and the like huge collection. And truthfully, he doesn't deal with it except a couple times a year. So I isolate all the baking stuff in their house, and then it goes way up in the pantry, way up over the refrigerator, like a whole bunch of the big pans that are specialty baking pans. They're way over the refrigerator in cabinets over the fridge because he's not going to be pulling baking stuff out all the time. So in the kitchen, that's an example. What's somewhere else? In the craft room, for example, the categories that I make in the craft room that I apply to every craft are, you know, your main supply, your embellishments, and then your library, the stuff that you, all of the books and papers that you deal with. And so those are categories that work in the craft room. In the bathroom, it might be you have hair products, makeup, cleaning products, linens. Those are some categories. And generally, I mean, there's general categories of stuff that everybody uses. And then there's, you know, the modified version of how you use the stuff in your house. So I can usually throw out some general categories. And then as I talk to somebody and find out how they're dealing with their stuff, what things they use all the time, how they think of it in their head, like they might subdivide it in a slightly different manner than I would. And so then we modify the categories for how they think about it. And we label them with the labels that they use in their own head. And so A, you want them to be the way that you think about the stuff and how you subdivide the stuff in your own mind. Is that enough example?
And isn't it true too, that I mean, you're going to define your categories to some extent according to the size of the collection. If you are starting out with 16 pairs of scissors for different functions, then scissors could be a category.
But
if you have a smaller collection of desk tools or craft tools, then craft tools might be tools, the category.
Yeah, might be the better category. Exactly. Yeah, and that's the fourth category. I forgot to say that one. That's the fourth craft category is tools. It will be defined by the size of the collection and how detailed and voluminous it is. Office supplies is one big category. And in that category, you may have, you know, five little things of office supplies, or you may have an entire closet full. So you may have to categorize in a few subcategories, depending on how big the collection is. Or you may need to make a huge collection of office supplies and then do your keep toss decisions and see how big the category is after you're done. you may have way more stuff than you want. And when you thin it down to the little collection, office supplies is a perfectly good category because you will have gotten rid of 80% of it. So sometimes those categories get shifted as you let go of things. Okay, so here's the next step. Do you have a question, Ed?
Well, Linda has a follow-up question.
Okay.
She says, I don't know how I'm going to sort into categories because I have a room that is so filled with boxes that I only have a few inches at the beginning of the room to walk. What do I do?
So this is where, if you don't have the space to move around, basically, then instead of sorting the whole room, you're going to sort one box at a time. And so you will pull out the content, pull one box out, pull the contents, make those sort piles. And you may need to have a couple of, you know, open boxes to get started. And you can start some categories from the contents of the first box, go through the whole process for that one box, and then go back and pull another box down and go through the whole process again. So you will end up keep putting things into the categories one box at a time and adding to them as you open a box. Instead of opening it all at once and then sorting it all together, you're just going to repeat, you know, pull it out, sort the stuff, pull it out, sort the stuff, and make keep toss decisions until you get down to the very end. So basically you leave the last step about creating systems until you've gotten your way all the way across the room.
So you have a complete inventory.
Until you have a space to put it all to. That's the biggest thing. Yeah. And also you can shortcut it. Like I said, if you just really jam for space, maybe the first thing you can do is open boxes and sit everything down and pull out boxes, remove the boxes for recycling and remove any trash. So you can just go through and easily subtract like box containers and anything that you can quickly identify as trash. And so then you end up with a bunch of all of the box contents in a big pile in the room. But once you pull the boxes out and the trash out, you might have enough room to then sort all of those contents. Sometimes the boxes themselves are creating a barrier because you can't really move around. The boxes hold it contained and you can't see it and touch it. And so if you just take it all out of the boxes and make a big pile of it and get the boxes out of the way, then sometimes that's enough to proceed. If that doesn't clear enough space for you, then one little bit at a time, right?
Anne says, I have a room full of mail. It doesn't belong anywhere. Categories, junk mail, medical, banking, but I can get confused about categories. I haven't read the mail for over a year. So it seems like the first thing to do is the low hanging fruit. Taking out the junk mail is going to reduce your volume by 75 to 90%.
Yeah, at least. And truthfully, if the categories are unclear in the beginning, then you really just want to say the category is keep. And I do this with paper a lot because when you start going through mail, so much of it is trash. And so you can make one box that says keep on it and don't try to do any categories with the keep yet. Just decide that it's paper that you need to keep or paper that you can let go of. And so the ratio is going to be so low to the keep pile and so big to the recycle, shred, trash pile that if you just do keep toss in the paper and plow all the way across the paper, you'll end up with a box of keep, but it will be a fraction of what you started with. And so then when you've gotten all of the excess out, then you can take your keep box out and the contents of it out and sort those keeps into categories once you can look at them and say, okay, this is all the things I'm going to keep now and why am I keeping them and what are the categories? And so sometimes with paper, it's easier just to do keep toss first and everything that you find that you want to keep goes in one box labeled keep. And then you go back when you're completely done and filter that back down into some different categories. And it's less overwhelming, I think, for people who are overwhelmed by paper in general anyway, to just go, I just need to find the trash here. And for paper, that ratio of trash is very, very high. So you get a lot of satisfaction and movement out of just subtracting trash. And it's a good place to start.
Well, and I think the other thing I would add is be kind of brutal on that initial keep toss. So it's a coupon or a store offer, let it go. You need clarity more than you need discounts.
Right. And magazines, it's still Ann saying, what about magazines? You want to read them all, except that if it's a year's worth of magazines and you don't have that much reading time. So, and you still got new magazines coming, I'm guessing. So I would say create a cutoff point. If it's over 6 months old, I can recycle it and just let it go because yes, you've missed the opportunity to read the magazine, but now you have 12 magazines instead of one. And it's going to be hard to, roll up, and get yourself caught up. Like they intended for that to be consumed over a month before they sent you another month's worth of material. So the fact that you haven't read it all this time means that you're probably not going to catch up. Unless you dedicate a huge amount of free time to reading. And I'm not sure that you want to do that either. So now's the time to be brutal and go, okay, that ship has sailed. I need the magazines to go. Out it goes. And I'm sorry I missed that detail, but I have more here to read and I'm sure I'll be entertained.
I'm a recovered magazine addict, as you know.
It's true.
I used to get, 12 or 15 magazines and...
Big reader that you are.
First, I had to shift down to only keep, such and such a time period, and it was still too much. And then it was, I'll keep what will fit in these two magazine holders.
Yeah.
And if I'm trying to stuff the new issue of something in there, I got to go find one to get rid of. I read all sorts of stuff online, and I read a ton of books. I kind of decided I wanted to really, I'd rather just read books. The best stuff in magazines is usually excerpts from books or by people who are working on books or
written books, right?
Written, yeah. So
good point.
Yep.
Okay. So let's go back and the next step. You have now made all your keep toss decisions. And now you want to determine, once you're down to the keeps of the category, I've found all of the things that go in this category. Then you need a system for that category of stuff. And this step is to determine the systems for your stuff. It's a fancy way of saying, where will this stuff get parked and how will it get used? If the category is office supplies in your office, in your home office, I'm discussing here, you can store them in containers or drawers or a closet or on shelves. You don't need all those office supplies all the time. And it's likely you're just returning to this collection to replenish something once in a while. So storing it enclosed and out of the way will work. There'll be things that you use every day. And likely the system for those will involve being on the desk surface or in a drawer that you can easily reach from your desk. So for office supplies, you need two systems. One for the stuff from which you're going to replenish when you run out of, oh, my scotch tape container is empty and I need more scotch tape. And one for the stuff that you use every day. What the pen and the stapler and the scotch tape that I use every day on my desk, they're out on the desk. And that's the system for where they get stored. You're going to do that process for all the categories in the room. And it might be super easy. You might already have the space or the storage or the idea about it. Or you may have to think it through and add containers or shelves or furniture to make it work. This is where you make the biggest changes to help you function in the future. Once you've figured out the system for a category, then you can put the keeps into the system. And this is the put it all back part of the process. Some of it will be easy. So it will be a whole, or some of it will be a whole makeover process to put it back. But in the end, you've replaced what you wanted to keep and you put it into its permanent home. And voila, the end, you're done. Now, I know I just described a process that seems very simple and depending on your stuff, maybe a huge undertaking, but I wanted to remind you in its barest form, this is the simple process that you're executing. In a small, easy job, you can do all the steps in an hour. In a heavy volume job of a very dense house, it might take 2 years to get all the way through the house, but the underlying steps are still the same. When you're feeling overwhelmed or fried, you can ask yourself, what step am I on? What is the goal of this step? And help keep your perspective. So I'm sure that has generated some questions. So let's have them.
Joyce responded to Anne to say, I feel your frustration. My dad didn't open mail, especially political junk mail, for several years. We ended up taking one small pile at a time, and I learned where to cut off the junk mail at the source.
Oh, that's helpful. You had to stop it coming.
Yeah. And Marcy said, I now say no to free magazines. And that's a great idea. That's a very good discipline. And, you know, free magazines, I used to work on typesetting on various free magazines. So not to be hating on the whole industry that produces free magazines, but free magazines are generally vehicles for a lot of advertising.
Yeah.
And very little content.
Well, I guess it was the original version of newsletters that people sent out. Like now everybody emails newsletters that deliver some content and tell you what they're selling, and they're much more specific. If I was sending out a newsletter, I'd be talking about decluttering. If Ed was going to send out a newsletter, he might talk about writing. Or, those little magazines served as vehicles for people to write articles and promote their business and sell things related to their business. And the little magazines had themes that were, this one's about the neighborhood and this one's about this industry and whatever.
Your spring garden.
Yeah. And it was a way to communicate and have you interact with people that are selling stuff, basically. And now we've sort of replaced that with emails instead. Email newsletters serve that function online instead. And so I think that it's trying to accomplish the same thing. And yeah, maybe there's a cute idea in it. You know, there'll be a garden center newsletter kind of paper thing somewhere in Home Depot. Great. But ultimately, they're trying to sell you gardening supplies. That's the goal. Right. So the articles will probably be fabulous. And they're, and if they don't make an effort to make the content be good, then it's, they're very easily dismissed. So they make an effort for the content, the writing, to be useful and helpful. And you still don't need to take the magazine home with you.
Well, and then, you know, and then there are the free magazines you get from places that, that you donate. And again, they have an agenda, which is to make you feel a sense of connection, right, so that when they ask you for money again, you'll send them some more. And that's right, fine. There are plenty of good causes that do that by way of a magazine. And, you know, my alma mater sends me The Tower every 3 months or something. It's probably not that often. It feels like at least that often. And I feel like, oh, I should really look at this, because they have a little section about what your classmates have been up to,
what they've
accomplished with their lives and all of that. And then I usually end up tossing it in recycling.
Exactly.
And added, in the past 2 weeks, I have bought and read 10 books.
Oh my goodness.
Which is fantastic. And that makes me kind of want to say to Anne, wonderful. So you have plenty to read. You obviously have lots of interests, a voracious appetite for reading, and you can probably let some of the magazines go. You're not going to run out of things to read.
Right. You are just,
I want to live 1,000 years so I can read everything that
I have
that everything that's on my reading list. And
right,
I suspect I will not live 1,000 years.
You won't quite make it.
Samudra says, I have a basket called Ephemera for magazines, catalogs, bills. I know I'll get a corrected notice for a neat bag of Bed Bath & Beyond coupons. All stuff I could toss tomorrow, because updated versions will always arrive.
Yes.
I cull it whenever I feel crowded.
There you go. And you're using the container to define some parameters for you to let things go. That's awesome. That's a great maintenance technique.
And Isabel says, my in-laws have magazines of 3 generations, 100 years worth around. It's spread across several houses and gets regularly moved around.
Oh my goodness gracious.
And I gotta say, they are not appreciating in value. Right?
Oh,
what's the
God.
Aftermarket? What's the aftermarket on magazines, Gail?
I think that would be nothing. You know, some of the stuff that's really, really old, some people might like to have them to cut them up and use them in art. There might, depending on the topic, you know, you might be able to donate. You can't donate all magazines together, but like, you know, if there's craft magazines, then you can donate them to a library that has some interest in craft, you know, that kind of stuff. There's always some takers for something, but my dad had a collection of ham radio magazines that went back many, many years. And years ago, I put them up on FreeCycle for him. And 2 different guys came that were new getting into ham radios. And they came and took the magazines away. And it was like 2 other old guys like my dad who didn't have this collection of magazines came and took the magazines away. And like, we just passed the collection to the next old guy. And so... I'm guessing now everybody learns ham radio online or some other electronic way and not from reading and examining magazines. But anyway, we've gone down a magazine rabbit hole, but this is all part of, if you're applying our basic step process to paper, sometimes the keep toss portion of your sorting of your process is long and involved. It takes a long time to get through keep toss. And I'm actually thinking of a client who's moving, and she moved to the new place and left all of her boxes of paper in the old place. And we're going over there to work because she doesn't want to move all the paper with her. So we're going over there to work at the old house and sorting through years of boxes of paperwork. Some from her work, some from her current job, personal photos, inherited, it's just tons of paper. And so we keep kicking through what's going, and she's worried about making sure that all the shredding gets found and, you know, toss. But it's paper and you have to touch every piece of paper to decide whether it's important, it has important data or not. And so we're making our way through these piles and we're going to be in that keep toss phase for a long time before we get through all these boxes. And she keeps going, but I need to be able to find stuff. I'm like, yeah, we're not there yet. We have not gotten to the systems part of this. We still have to be tossing. And ultimately, you know, we've been through all these boxes and the ratio is probably 1 in 200 pieces of paper that we keep.
Right.
And so we're just touching and tossing. And it's making her brain melt. And it's like, yeah, this is why you hired me, because this stuff doesn't make my brain melt. So we can do a decade's worth of paper tossing together.
Go off in a new direction. April asked, what if you get overwhelmed by taking everything out?
Then you can do this process as if, you know, we talk about doing a, you know, one counter surface or one drawer or whatever. You can do this process and think of it as just pull a little piece and go through the whole process of sort, make keep toss decisions, and think about systems, but don't continue the rest of the way through the process. Do that first couple of steps and then go get some more and sort and incorporate into what you've already done and make new keep toss decisions, and then go get some more and sort and incorporate and make some new keep toss decisions. So you sort of repeat the process in increments instead of for the whole process. It means that you, as you add more stuff to the office supply pile, the first time that you go through, you're gonna go, okay, I'm getting rid of some of this. And then you add more office supplies in, and then you go, okay, well, now I can get rid of some of that. And then you add more office supplies in, and you go, oh, okay, well, now I can get rid of some of that. Until you get to what you think is the sum total of the office supplies. And then you can stop and figure out, okay, now I'm going to do the rest of the steps. What system do I want to use to manage this category? And you can put it away. And then later, if you find more office supplies around the house, you can come and put them into your system and see if it fits.
It still works.
It may not fit. You may suddenly find a new cache somewhere and it doubles the volume. And so then you have to stop and pull things out of the system and sort and make keep toss decisions and put it back. You may find that you busted your system. You have to make a bigger system or a different system to hold it all. You can do it in any amount of increments along the way. But I think unless you're completely overwhelmed or you're really short on space, I think sorting as much as you can in any one step, in any one decluttering area, sorting as much as you possibly can and making keep toss decisions before you move on to the systems will help you more accurately evaluate and create the system that will work long term.
And avoid the what we called process confusion as a source of stuckness.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to put this in the right file folder right now, or I want to put this in the right container right this minute.
It's like, yeah, don't go there yet.
You're not there yet. April had another good question. How much time per day would be best with highly distractible people?
So if you're highly distractible, you probably have an idea of how long you can stay focused before you get derailed. So whether that's 20 minutes or an hour and a half, or you have your own sort of personal time limit of where you will stop and be distracted. And I imagine that the number sort of goes up and down depending on how tired you are, how chaotic is in the house, what's going on, who's around, that kind of stuff. So then I would pick the amount of time that you can stay focused, or that you can hope that you can stay focused, and do whatever you can to support yourself to stay focused that long. If it's a half an hour, then set the kitchen timer and go for a half an hour, and then go be distracted and do something else, and maybe come back later and set the timer again for another half an hour. I mean, work with how you work. And recognize that if you accidentally get distracted and go running off, at some point you'll go, oh yeah, I was doing that. And you can go back and set the timer again and start over. The distractions will just stretch your time, your execution time out longer. It'll just make the job go longer, but whatever. I mean, you still have to do it. And if you do it with a whole bunch of distractedness in between, it just means that it's going to take longer. And that's okay. That's just, if that's where you are, you can practice some things that help you stay focused better. Like people play the videos in the background or listen to it as a podcast and work for the duration of the podcast, which is basically, somewhere between 50 minutes and an hour and 15, depending. And that gets you another hour down. And so you can set timers for it. You can set timer on the phone. You can use the kitchen timer if you'd like to listen to the ticking. Whatever works for you. You can put in earphones and listen to music so that you have something else occupying your brain while you're working. Sometimes that's the biggest way that people find to be focused. Drinking coffee. ADHD people say that drinking coffee, instead of, for neurotypical people, caffeine sort of ramps them up and makes them, but for ADHD people, the caffeine helps them focus and stay calmer. It's very interesting. So an ADHD brain responds differently to the stimulus of caffeine. It doesn't make you speed up and get more in motion. It makes you calm and more able to focus. So if you know you're going to try to work on this and you're ADHD, then, try a source of caffeine. See how that helps you. Make sure you've taken your meds, like all those things that you need to do to help you with your distractedness, and set a reasonable amount of time that you generally can execute most of the time. And there you go.
Jane asked, there's a whole lot of discussion of paper in the in the chat, but we don't want to spend too much of this more of this episode on paper, I don't think. But so Jane asked, where should I donate garage items like leaf blowers and gardening containers, etc.? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'd ask a local yard guy, like somebody that's going through the neighborhood that's working on yards, and see if he wants it. But that's a perfect thing to put up on a local neighborhood board. Next door comes to mind, who wants a leaf blower, and put it out there.
Yeah, or even just on a day when you're expecting the weather to stay nice, just put the things at the curb.
Yeah, for a little urban recycling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, anybody that is working with gardening and garden tools, any kind of yard guy that drives around and does, mowing in yards, you can offer them that kind of equipment, because they, of course, have equipment that they use all the time and then it dies. And, why not support your local yard guy? Right? You could do a garage sale if you wanted, but it's hot. It's going to be summer. Like, it's painful right now to do garage sales soon. So, give it a shot. And you can ask some of your friends, hey, does anybody need, send a little email out to four or five people and say, does anybody need a leaf blower, and see if somebody that is desperate for one, or know somebody who's desperate for one.
Okay, let's do a couple of quick announcements and then we'll come back for the weekly tittle.
Okay.
I want to remind our viewers and listeners who are with us live that we have a YouTube channel, if you are not aware of it, that contains more than 150 videos on lots and lots of organizing topics. Visit cfhou.com/YouTube. Subscribe to the channel and then click the bell icon next to the subscribe button if you'd like to get notifications when we post new content. That's every week.
Every week.
I also want to say a very special thank you to Donimo, that's a nickname, for becoming our newest Patreon supporter.
Yay, thank you, Domino.
Donimo. It's M and the N go the other way.
Donimo, okay.
And to Karen, who recently doubled her monthly donation level.
Thank you, Karen. That was very kind of you. I was quite surprised to see that. Thank you so much.
If you would like to help support our efforts with a recurring monthly donation of any size, please visit cfhou.com/Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Your contributions help us offset the costs of producing this weekly webcast and also help us fund new projects that we're working on. Thank you for your generosity, Donimo, Karen, and all of our patrons.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate you so much.
Okay, let's talk about the tittle.
Okay. This week's assignment is about applying basic organizing steps we've outlined today on a modest or small area, and we're calling this practice the fundamentals. So start by identifying a space in your home on which you'll practice the steps. The focus of the exercise is to practice the process, so no project is too small to consider to do this practice work. A single desk drawer, a bathroom counter, one shelf in the linen closet, one section of a kitchen cabinet, it doesn't matter. We just want you to practice the little steps and feel yourself going from step A, B, C, D, right? So pull everything out of the space in question. Once you've made your choice, pull everything out of the space, sort the items like with like to get a complete inventory, make your keep toss decisions to reduce the volume, determine what systems you'll need to corral the things that you've decided to keep, and put the items you're keeping back into the system that you've designed. Those are the steps. That's what we want you to do and see how it goes. And let it be an example of, this is what it's like to go from start to finish. Now I'm gonna do this process for my whole house instead of this kitchen cabinet. But even doing it for your whole house is sort of a, you know, like you're really only gonna do one space at a time, one room at a time, one counter at a time. The process can be applied to the smallest space, or it can be applied the contents of the whole house. And you won't be able to do all that in one sitting, right? If the whole process is I'm decluttering my whole house, then all of those steps cannot be done in a weekend or a day. You're going to be working along those process steps for some time to come until you get all the way around.
I'm showing the slide again, just to remind people, you don't have to take notes when we're giving the tittle, because we always put it up later the same day. And if you, today's episode is number 72. So if you go to cfhou.com/TCFW072, you can find a write-up of the tittle.
There it will be to remind you what you're supposed to do.
And awesome. I also want to mention next week, because we've been doing a little better about announcing our topics at least 1 week in advance. Someday we'll do even better, maybe. So our collections of decorative items can fall out of sync with our changing senses of style and the desires and goals we have for our spaces. In episode number 73 of the Clutter Fairy Weekly, we will identify the behaviors that lead to decor clutter and suggest strategies for cleaning up your look.
It's all Marshall and Home Goods' fault.
Right.
a listener viewer wrote in and asked about the things walls that are on the wall and things that clutter up the wall, and that led us to this discussion of that's usually about making the house be pretty and what that volume looks like and how you make decisions about it and how often you buy stuff for it and how you change it. And so that's where we're going to go next week. That's how we're going to get there.
And I don't think I said the title, which is No Accounting for Taste, Decluttering Decor for Your Evolving Style. Join us Tuesday, June 8th at the usual time, noon U.S. Central Time,
yep,
live in Zoom and streaming on Facebook.
That'll be us talking about decor.
If you're watching this on YouTube, we would love for you to join us live. To get notifications about upcoming events, we invite you to join the meetup group by visiting cfhou.com/meetup. You can also follow us on Facebook by visiting cfhou.com/Facebook, or subscribe to our mailing list by visiting cfhou.com/subscribe. We love to hear from you, so please keep those questions and topic suggestions coming in the YouTube comments, on Facebook, or anywhere else that you find us. And you can always reach us through our website at clutterfairyhouston.com.
Thanks, you guys, for joining us today. We really appreciate you coming and hang with us every Tuesday, and we'll be back next week with our new topic about decor. We hope to see you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.